Hello and welcome to a slightly delayed Exiled Eagles. I'm Rob Seltzer and there will be ranting. End of. Simple. Today with me we have our usual panel. Now, contractually, I now have to announce him by his full name and first, as his agent has told me that. So, Lord Dale Quarty of Exiled Eagles, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Why am I not in the running order to talk about my TV appearance?
Well, look, you mean the list of demands your agent has sent through is quite incredible. So, look, hopefully I've got your name right, and yes, you are. You will be announced every time first and put on this pedestal because you are now greater than us other plebs that don't go on TV for Optus fan bands.
Long may it continue.
safe from dodging ruse on the way from New South Wales to Queensland is Marky Werner up in Queensland.
Hey, how are we going?
Good. Right. And Creepazoid down in Melbourne, Ned Rock.
Bit rough.
G'day, how are we going? I'm not going to lie, I've completely missed my intro due to my wonderful Skype connection, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
You'll wait your
track record, Rob.
You can wait and find out. There'll be something for you to find out. All right, excellent.
I'm enjoying Dale's reaction, if nothing else.
Too good.
Excellent. Right. Now, this is the only reason we're podding is this is going to be a cathartic session for me. This is my therapy, having the way I felt over the couple of weeks. So first of all, we're going to start with the last four games. Now, what we're going to do is talk about the last four games. Could we have expected more? Are you happy with what you've seen? You know, you can't really be happy with the points total, but have you come to terms with it? You know, how are you thinking? Obviously, Dale, yes, we have to start with you. Don't worry, agent. I think your agent, his name was Salthouse or something. So I don't know where you picked him up from. So Dale, what are your thoughts over the last four games?
Last four games. Have we played?
Mate.
Look, disappointing. I think we all, to a man, said on here in the last pod, we'll get 5 points or so. We currently sit on one. To be expected, really. As we said at the time, it was more about the manner of the defeat if we were to lose, not the fact that we lost. I think Leicester, we acquitted ourselves pretty well. Man City, I think, you know, they were Man City. It's always tough. The biggest disappointment, I think, was Chelsea. We just didn't really offer any attacking threat, and that's just not how you play football, really.
100%. And you wait. I'm boiling, I'm building here. Go on in, Ned. What's your thoughts?
I'm really tempted to just steal your thunder here, Rob, to be honest, and just, you know,
go
have
nuts,
all of
I've
your
got,
rants
I've got,
for you. So
there is
nothing,
so
nothing
much
of left.
I mean, you can go for it, because I've got so much material, you will not cover half of it.
Fair enough. I'll take your word for it. But look, I think, as Dale touched on, I think, obviously, very disappointed not to have picked up the 13 points that I predicted. I mean, you know, I was quite close. I mean, I'm only 12 off at the moment, but we've still got a game to go. I think, yeah, as Dale said, I think Man City was, you know, it was Man City, perhaps, you know, a little bit disappointing to, you know, not go for a little bit more when you end up behind. But Chelsea, I think that game, you sit there and you go, yeah, Chelsea were better than us. But I mean, and I can understand at 0-0, you sit and you hold and you do all those sorts of things. But I mean, once you hit 1-0 down, like, you've got to at least attempt to attack, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Like just have some sort of, you know, intent. I know we all get, you know, everyone slags off Christian Benteke, but you're a goal down with 10 minutes to go. He's the only striker on the bench. I mean, you've got to at least try something rather than just, you know, going like for like in the midfield and not really doing a whole lot with it. So I think that was probably a bit disappointing for me. The fact that we've only picked up 1 point from those five games, where you go, look, we weren't expecting huge amounts as much as we joke about it. But I think, yeah, as Dale was saying, the manner of them is a bit annoying, particularly that last game. So I look forward to us going out and trying to hold Liverpool to 0-0 and sort of failing miserably after about 45 minutes and losing 2-0 again on the weekend.
Mate, Oof. Got it, Mark. I hope you've recovered from your journey. We've had enough time to think about your answers, let's say that, and your 19 hours of travel, so that'd be good.
I did, mate. I was milling over many thing in the 12-odd hour commute I had through a burning scrub of Outback Australia. But, yeah, to go on the last four games, lucky to have a point, to be fair. That was only because of some VAR magic and wizardry at the Arsenal game that they chalked one off when we jagged 2-2 there. Other than that, never really looked like getting much out of any game. Played all right, didn't disgrace ourselves, as Dale said. Chelsea's probably, you know, the one that got away, nil at half time. You know, could have squeezed something out of that, but just no killer instinct or going after it. So, yeah, without the magic of VAR, pointless at this stage. And you know, who knows what's going to happen with Liverpool? I'd take a Dow and nil all. I'll have 2 points out of that 15. So yeah, that's about it.
Mate, we all know what's going to happen at Liverpool. That see Chelsea last game. That's what's going to happen. So here we go. Seatbelts, settle yourselves in. Lock doors. We're on.
Oh, sorry, right. I don't think we've got time, Celts. I think we're just going to have to call it.
Look, mate. First of all, I could get your camera from below and up from there because it's disgusting. Secondly, I'm the host. I do what I want. This is a dictatorship, not a democracy. So stop it.
That's okay. I'm the editor. I'll just cut it.
You, to be fair, that's 1-0 to you. That's a very good return of serve there. I've got nothing.
Off you go, Rob.
Anyway, all right, so last four games. To be honest with you, apart from 50 minutes again, I'll go with it. Man City, as Dale said, Man City's Man City. They're better than us. They're 100% better than us. The best we could probably hope for, really, is to not be disgraced or scrape a draw. And, you know, they're a much better footballing side than us. I've got no qualms. Leicester for 55 minutes was two half decent Premier League teams having a good Premier League game of football, really. You know, and then we conceded, and as Ned said, that's the end of that. Well, there's no point trying to attack because Roy doesn't want us to. Chelsea and Arsenal is nothing short of a disgrace for me. Nothing short of a disgrace. And this is why the Arsenal game first. Everyone knows their front three have almost, we've pretty much got a world class front three there. They spent a lot of money on him. Aubameyang doesn't stop scoring goals. Pepe, you know, spent 70 million on him. He's a decent-looking player. He hasn't quite hit the ground running yet. Lacazette scores goals. So going forward, they're brilliant. At the back, I reckon CPFC Sydney could score a goal against that back four. They're crap. They're absolute crap. So what do? We just sit back off and we just let them control the ball, you know, whatever. Take it to Chelsea. Chelsea playing very well. No doubt about it. Again, going forward, very good. They've got a very young back line. I mean, Reece James, first game. Tomori, very good, but young. Emerson, I think he's kind of like their Patrick Van Aanholt. Decent going forward, not great at the back. And we did nothing. We did absolutely nothing. There was one point, I mean, they're harrying us. Tammy Abraham's harrying us. Willian's harrying us on the ball. One point in the first half, once, Kouyaté, Townsend, and are you harried? I think it might have been Emerson, and it's him, Zuma, and Tomori in a triangle. And they couldn't pass out of it, and we won the ball 30 metres out from goal, and we're on. Then the next time we went to press it, only are you pressed. And it wasn't difficult to pass around one player. So what are we doing? Are we pressing or are we not? Are we trying to put pressure on them? Are we not? Who knows? We're not showing anything. Second thing, if we're going to play a long ball, we can't play Jordan Ayew up front. We've got young boys. They probably wouldn't have played against a striker with the physical presence of Benteke. Imagine having that smashing into you for 75 minutes of the game. Give them something different to think about. Not just this crap along the floor where Kante and Kovacic can just sweep everything up in front of you. Pump it up to him. Let him bully them. We know he's not going to score, but that's fine. Let him bully them. Let him bring the defenders out. Have Wilf going in behind. Do something. We didn't do anything. Absolutely nothing. There's no thought process. There's no, you know, what do we change? As said, what do we do? Don't bring on Benteke. We bring on like for like. Let's try this. Let's try Wilf wide, Benteke through the middle. Are you on the other side? How about we try just something a little bit different? We don't try fuck all. We don't try anything else different. And it's doing my head in. I mean, I'm sick of it because I know that Liverpool on Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday morning is going to be the exact same crap. I can name you the team now. Kelly will be right back. Guisen goal. Kelly right back. Tompkins, Cahill, Van Aanholt, Kouyaté, Luca, Maka, Wilf, Wilf, Townsend, are you? There's a team. Done already. And I guarantee you, they'll know that too. Klopp's not going to throw anything at it. So, for me, Arsenal there for the taking. That's 3 points. Chelsea, look, we may not have beaten them. We could have given it a go. And this has been all through the season now. Look, I mean, Spurs, we've never had a better chance this season to beat Spurs away, Arsenal away, and United away. And we wasted Arsenal and Spurs. Didn't even try against Spurs. Didn't go for the throat against Wolves. Didn't really go for the throat against Norwich. Didn't go for the throat against Villa. It's a thing throughout the season. So for me, it's been rubbish. Absolute crap.
I'm just going to jump in there, Seltz, and I'm just going to say,
go.
Our season should not and will not be defined by those 4th and 5th result against Liverpool. For me, as I've said, if someone had said to me Palace would come away from that with 1 point and ultimately not get disgraced and still be 10th in the league, I'd take it. I get what you're saying. The performance isn't great. The team's not great. But we have to look at the realism. 15 points so far this season, 15 points this stage last season. We're on course to match where we were last year. And if we get through Burnley, Bournemouth, Watford, Brighton, Newcastle, West Ham, Southampton, Norwich as our next bunch of fixtures, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fixtures. And if we get 15 points
I'll
take it.
We're talking about that later on. Calm yourself, Winston. We're calling that later on. What do you want before Christmas?
Oh, mate,
bloody hell.
That's not what I want before Christmas.
Oh, that's a different story. That's Ned's camera. Don't worry about that.
My point is, I think we just need to... It hasn't been great. We know that. But at the same time, still sitting 10th in the league. And comfortable.
Yes, and I certainly see... I agree that our season's not defined by these 5 games. Because we were ridiculously 6th and we're playing the 5 teams above us. And arguably, 4 of them are playing the best football, almost probably 4 of the top 10 footballing playing sides in Europe at the moment. Not that I watch much European football, but they've been fantastic, Leicester included. Right? But I can't imagine like the top 5 in Serie A playing the same type of football, the level of football as those guys playing at the moment, right? And include Leicester on that. But I take it back to Spurs are crap. No, we didn't go at them. Sheffield United went at them, drew 1-1. Brighton went at them, won 3-0. Watford went at them and got screwed, and they hadn't won a game yet, hadn't even picked up. Like, so this is a thing throughout the season. We're not trying. Like, there's no intent. There's no attacking intent whatsoever. And I think we all knew we were in a false position. But you know, as Mark said, VAR against Arsenal, we lose that point. The referee makes the right decision against Villa, we lose 2. We drop 2 points because that was definitely should have been a goal. Let's be honest. Wolves, we lost a point last minute. West Ham, we got lucky in their crap as well. Like, we're all in those games. Man, you're away. They're crap as well.
The old
like,
saying, if my mum had balls, she'd be my dad.
She would be.
Let's just take what we
she
got.
Would be.
Let's just take what we got.
I'll take it, but for where I'm sitting now, I'm not happy, which leads me nicely onto it. I'll move on, so I'm...
Brave, Rob, brave.
Talk of a new contract for Roy Hodgson. How do we feel about that? Now, Dale, I'm going to throw it to you. Now, you can choose to pass this on to someone else, but as your contract says, you have to go first. Everything is your choice.
You pass.
Who would you like to pass it to, Dale?
Oh,
mate. I don't want Mr. Salthouse being upset with me.
I'll tell you what. So, why don't you go first?
Okay. This is nice.
I wonder where he's going to go with this.
I do too.
You'll be surprised, right? I've got two schools of thought. First school I thought is, look, we give him a contract. I only want to give him a contract if we've got someone in mind we're looking at down for the year, give him a year. And I've got, for example, not saying these people, but for example, it's like the Cowley brothers that have gone to Huddersfield. So they've taken Lincoln from down here. They got promoted twice in 2 years, playing good football, looking good. They've gone to Huddersfield, who are an absolute shambles, and they've steadied that ship, and they're slowly moving them up. So they've obviously got something about them. So we'll just see how they go at a higher level before we bring them straight to the Premiership. Other ones, someone like Graham Potter, did very well. That came to everyone's minds or came to fruition when they played Arsenal. Then Swansea took the punt. Swansea did very well. Brighton have taken the punt and is doing pretty well at Brighton. So let's see how he goes. So if we've got someone like that lined up for the year after Hodgson, just to see how people are going at a slightly higher level, all for it. If it's just another stopgap because we haven't got a fucking clue, then, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, another year of this. And what are we going to be left with afterwards? We're going to be left with, like, as much as I love James McArthur, I do. We're going to left with team James. Wilf's gone. Marin Kamarasu, we're coming on to, is gone. They've gone. We've got a team of players that are solid but do nothing else. So we're going to have to keep finding these managers that are solid. Pulis, Allardyce, Hodgson, all the same type of manager, look the same type of players. And that will get you, we're at that glass ceiling with these managers now. We're 100% at that glass ceiling with these players. We want to push on, we need someone else. Me, done, out.
Drops mic.
We just missed a trick in not getting Mourinho then. He's the next class up in that pragmatic manager.
As a side note, that's a match made in hell, that Spurs and Mourinho. It's going to go horribly wrong. You heard it here first. 100% it's gone wrong. And the next transfer window is gone. Then summer transfer window.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
I think that was going wrong anyway. But that's another story for the exiled Spurs podcast.
Go on, Ned. Carry on. Go on, Ned. Carry on. What's your thoughts?
Fair enough. I think with someone like a Roy, as you look at it and you go, it is keeping us consistently in and about that central part of the table. We're not going down. We're not pushing on all that much. The thing that we could get with Roy that we possibly won't get if we go for a slightly more ambitious manager is Roy could take us on a cup run and get us to Europe that way. Because he can get us to a point where we're solid enough in the league. You get to the FA Cup, second half of the season, you can start putting a couple of full-strength teams in some of the earlier rounds there because we're safe, and that way you can sort of start to try and push through it in that direction. I think every other time we've tried to go away from that, it has... I mean, either we haven't given it time, if that's your viewpoint, or it's just backfired and failed spectacularly, and we've found ourselves staring down the barrel of relegation really quickly. If he gets a new contract, I'm not against it. Yes, I understand that it means that we're going to be sitting there watching not the world's most exciting football, but, I mean, it's Palace. We've been sitting there watching not the world's most exciting football for quite a few years. So, I mean, that's that. With Roy, we'll get, you know, you'll pick up wins against your Cities, your Uniteds, your Chelseas sometimes. Sometimes we'll just, you know, play for a loss. But I think it's a solid option. I don't think it's a bad decision to keep him, but I mean you also got to consider that there does need to be some sort of forward planning beyond that. Whether that's bringing someone else in underneath him. I think as Rob said, it'd be good. I think if you get a 1 year with him and then potentially shuffle him into an upstairs role where he sort of just sits there above and looks kind of clueless as he does and waves to the fans and imparts a little bit of defensive knowledge to a manager who's got sort of the Pardew attacking intent but the Hodgson defensive solidity at the back in a perfect world. But as I say, I can't begrudge him anything that he's done for us because he's been fantastic, he's been solid, we're just a bit boring, and I mean that's all, really.
Bit boring. That's understatement of the century right there.
Would you rather be boring or not be able to watch us?
We could find a stream somewhere, mate. I could almost guarantee you that this day and age. All right, then. Go on, Dale.
Oh, I've said it before. Roy is Roy. We won't get relegated with him. We might scrape into you with him. It won't be any better than that. It won't be any worse than that. I think we give him a contract. There's a caveat in there that says you're going upstairs. I think we're going to talk about it later, but Doogie pisses off to Hearts. Rory goes upstairs. Manager comes in. Done. Who that manager is, I have absolutely no idea.
And Mikey Werner?
Probably agree with most of the above. Roy up top. Duncan can go to Hearts if he wants. And then just slide Gary Cahill into player manager.
Ooh.
Hey?
I like that.
Yeah, there we go. Bring back the player manager. Who doesn't love that?
Get all the Chelsea youngsters on loan.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Mason Mount first team.
It'll be over.
Just scoring for
club and country now?
England goal scorer Mason Mount.
That's the one.
Oh,
I believe that is the one we're talking about.
Unearthed by who again? Who?
Rob, do they share an agent, Rob?
Dale and Mason Mount, I believe so.
So, yeah, might have been the same as the boys, yeah. Just go sort of year to year with a big ear on the ground for future successes. And if something could be put in place, I don't know how much managers are kind of spoken to prior to jobs being available and that sort of thing, but if we could instigate some sort of succession plan to Roy, that'd be great. Unfortunately, if it's someone of worth or with a bit of nous, they're probably deeply entrenched with another club somewhere else. Why would they leave that to come to Palace? But I don't know. I mean, even in the AFL here a few years back, we had Mick Malthouse handed the reins over to Nathan Buckley over a couple of seasons or at least a season tutelage under him and then handed over and was very successful. It's probably not manageable in the Premier League, but it worked well, so yeah, we'll see. But yeah, ultimately we're just about on the rev limiter with Roy, and to go back to what Ned said quickly, we're in the Premier League, man, and we don't look like going anywhere at the moment, so I'll take that. But yeah, let's look at pushing on a bit would be good.
Agreed. Right, well, look, what we're going to talk about next is probably not going to talk for long because we just don't know much about them, really. Talk about Max Meyer and the ghost, Victor Camarasa. Now, I've the football, I've seen Camarasa play. I've seen him play 93 minutes against us because he got injured early on when we played him away, and 5 minutes of running around against Spurs when we were 4-0 down. Obviously, I haven't seen the Colchester game, and by all intents, from all everything I heard, he wasn't very good there. But in his defence, having played at a half-decent level of sport at one time in my life, way back when, certainly not now, Jesus Christ, not now. But you need to run a game. You can't just be thrown in saying, play well now, and then be expected to perform. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't, especially when you're not playing with the first team. And the boys that are playing couldn't really give a shit about Colchester United. So, do you think you're ever going to see either of those boys play for Palace again? Are you disappointed about it? Could you think of reasons why they're not playing? Mark, I'll start with you. Look, there are apologies. I'm just going to start with Mark. We haven't started with him yet. So, if you just... That's the only reason why. Otherwise, obviously, we would start with you. So, what do you think about it, Mark? I mean, do you think we'll ever see him play for again? Do you want to see him play... Where you at on it?
Yeah, well, starting off with Max, from what I could sort of gather and looking at interviews and all that sort of thing, this season was going to be like his breakout season. You know, he was working on his English in the off season, had his toe in the water last season, got a feel for it, and I thought, oh, we're going to see a lot more of him and him moving through the midfield and weaving some magic. He's got good pace. I think he's got fast feet in traffic, which is good, but just not getting the minutes. His physical presence is something that is questioned a lot, comes up time and time again. But, you know, I don't think you have to be 6'1 and 90-odd kegs to make it the Premier League. So I still think he'll be there or thereabouts. I can't really work out any rhyme or reason when Roy chooses to play Max. As for Victor, Camarasa, no idea what's going on there. That's just really odd. I mean, the guy was putting some bangers in for Cardiff last season, and you know, by all accounts was going to be sort of exciting, something new to watch, and offer us a bit up front, but we've just seen absolutely nout of it. And I think just this week I read that Real Betis are looking at bringing him back because of just complete lack of game time, which is fair enough. You understand why they would want to do that, just seeing, you know, one of their good head of cattle just sitting on the sidelines, not doing much. So, but as to the whys or what, why he is not playing, baffling, and I offer no real answer as to why.
What about you, Sir Quarty?
Well, mate, there was a cryptic Instagram or Twitter post from Wilf, wasn't there, a little while back, making reference to someone's poor performance at training and not getting along with the boys. And I think some people surmised that that was Camarasa. So who knows? The rumours I'm hearing at the moment are that we are going to see him playing the Premier League fairly soon. And it'll probably be with Norwich. Once his loan's terminated with us, and Norwich are apparently keen on him. I had him in my fantasy team last year. He got a bag load of points. Good player. Something's going on. That's all I can say on that. Something's going on. It's not, I don't think it's just, a lot of people will turn around and say, Roy doesn't like creative players. All right? He's got Wilf. So if he didn't like creative players, he wouldn't play him. So he must like, he must have something for creative players. And you think to yourself, there must be something else going on. As for Max, I don't know. So go on, Ned.
I was going to say, he's got a quota of creative players. I think one per team at most.
One per team, maybe, yeah. Maybe.
You can't not play Wilf.
That's crazy talk.
And then you've got Meyer, so that's three. I don't know what's going on with Max. He's, if I will agree, in flashes when he's come on, he's given us something. As you say, Rob, he needs a run of games. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't his contract run out at the end of the season?
Probably.
Didn't we only sign him on a 2-year deal?
Sorry about that. And so I wouldn't be surprised.
If that's the case, then, yeah, I mean, I initially thought we were going to sign him, and if nothing else, he would play, he wouldn't go too badly, we'll get top of him and make a bit of cash. This is actually going to turn out to be a disaster. We've just spent 80-odd grand a week on a guy who's hardly going to play. Yeah, I'd love to see them both play if they're both up to it, but obviously for some reason they're not.
What about you, Nadie?
Well, given that I've hardly seen either of them play, courtesy of Roy's decisions for one reason or other, I'll just talk about, I once played with a German bloke called Max. He was a goalkeeper, a bit chubby and got chipped a lot, so I can see why he's not getting in the team. And there was, I played with another Brazilian bloke called Victor, fantastic on the ball, a little bit lazy, got injured heaps. So, I mean, I can see the similarities there with Camarasa. So, I'm just, you know, they're there. I mean, our lone player, we have to have one lone player a year that doesn't play. Last year it was Rakip. This year it's obviously Camarasa's been nominated. So, that's for the club to keep up the tradition. Yeah, as I said, he's got his quota of one creative player per game. Obviously, Wilf's got that locked in. I think, yeah, with the two of them, Roy picks his 11. As you said, Rob, you've already run us through the team for this weekend. You'd be very surprised if there's more than one of those wrong. Suggest that barring injuries, that will be the team the following weekend and the weekend after that and the weekend after that ad nauseum until the end of time.
Whoa.
I mean, there's no real spot for him, is it?
You are forgetting about the coin toss that happens every Saturday morning. Between, is it Townsend or Schlupp?
Schlupp.
That's not a coin toss. Roy Harrelson rolls out of bed and just whispers to Schlupp's ear who's net line next to him. No, it's not a coin toss. He's got more of a
wheel there, I think, for the Schlupp
bollocks.
Townsend. So three of them are Schlupp, one of them's Townsend, and he spins it up and sometimes Andrew.
Not even that. He rolls over in bed and says to Jeff, who's lying in bed next to him, do you want to play today, mate, or do you want the bench? And Jeff says, I'll play today. He's like, no worries, you're in, buddy. Oh, this is us. I just want to take it easy today. I just want it easy today. It's like, no worries, you're on the bench. I'll bring you 170. Don't worry. All right, well, look, he's been mentioned a couple of times there, so it's a quite nice way to segue onto Wilf. Ned, last time, first in this time. Has Wilf had a good season, quiet season? Do you think he's sulking? Obviously, he's not getting the goals and assists that he got last year. Is that because he's been negated by Roy's tactics, potentially? obviously at the start of the season, of course, there was definitely a bit of the hangover from the summer and everything that went on there. But is it a case of that we are literally so one-dimensional now that we, because we don't actually put anyone else in the box. Our only idea is to give the ball to him, and if they put three players on there, he can't do everything every game. So is that what you think, or do you think he's just not having a good season?
Yeah, look, I don't think he's been particularly bad. I'm not getting the vibe that he's sulking or not trying. I think he's, you know, he's putting the effort in, but as you say, he is our only outlet, and when the opposition put three players on him, I mean, he's been in the Premier League a while now, they're starting to learn his tricks, so it's not quite as easy for him to just glide past players. It's still quite easy for him to glide past one, but, you know, when there's two or three, you know, he still wants to demand the ball. I mean, like all the best players do. You know, he wants the ball, he wants to back himself, he wants to, you know, do what he can. But unfortunately, as I say, when you're against three and they just keep giving it to you and go, here you go, Wilf, we're not going to actually get forward and support you, we're not going to put you in the box so that you can cross it to us, we're not going to, you know, provide any sort of option for you, we're just going to give you the ball on the halfway line, out on the wing, and go do some sort of magic trick and score a goal. Unfortunately, he hasn't managed to pull off any magic tricks yet. I'm sure he'll pull off one or two by the time the season finishes, but I can't see him having a prolific season, just the way we're playing. The same way that, you know, we're not going to have strikers. I mean, I'll go back to Benteke. You can pick on him all you like, but, you know, he plays with Belgium, gets Kevin De Bruyne to pop a ball in his head, he scores goals. You play with Palace, you need a lot more chance. You need someone to actually put the ball somewhere near the box. Our attacking players aren't scoring goals because the ball isn't going near the opposition penalty area. It doesn't matter who you got up front. If the ball's not in that end of the pitch, it's really tough to score goals and get assists. So I think he's trying. I think he's not being particularly bad. He hasn't set the world on fire, but I don't think he's, you know, doing his transfer value too much harm. But yeah, I can't see him sticking about if we aren't going to really take advantage of him.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think much the same. He's certainly wasn't himself at the start of the season with all the drama with Arsenal, then more so Everton. I felt like he was dragging his bottom lip around for a couple of weeks at least. And I think that's his big Achilles heel. He can't just sort of leave the off-field bullshit at the sideline when he crosses over and just go out and play football, and then if he feels hardly done by, he carries on a bit, and quite immature, really. I mean, he's 26 now. That sort of nonsense he should have ironed out of his game. If he's an ultimate professional, I realise you get frustrated and disappointed, and, you know, you've got two or three blokes on you and you're not getting to do what you want to do or what you're used to doing, but, I mean, that's why you're on the money you are, mate, and you're commanding, you know, 50, 70, 80 million bucks, pounds, what's been bandied about. I don't think he's worth that now. I reckon his value has dropped since the start of the season. A chunk. So, yeah, that in combination with, yeah, the team not necessarily playing to his skills, and Christian's in that camp as well, even though I'm not a fan, but, you know, this morning probably a bit of proof of that, like Ned said, you know, give him the ball in the box on his head and he's going to do something with it. He's not going to drag it up the carpet for 40 metres and walk it in goal. So yeah, you know, it's catch 22. So mate, you got the trickery on the big bucks, make it happen, and then you can stand there and go, well, you know, give me some balls to do something with. So yeah, either way, I think he's a bit subpar this season. And now onto Wilfred's biggest fan, Dale.
He's not happy, is he? He's not happy. Simple.
Nope.
He wanted to move. He didn't get his move. Apparently it was his dream to go to Arsenal. Then it was his dream to go to Everton. Didn't happen. You saw it first game of the season against Everton. He came on, he looked sheepish. I don't think he's really looked himself all season. As Mark said, he's sulking a little bit. I do think he's trying, don't get me wrong, but I think he's trying too hard. So he's almost like he's trying to show everyone, well, look, I am still here, I am still playing, and I am still the best player here. But he's trying to do too much. I mean, it doesn't come off. He throws his hands in the air. He turns around, he glares at somebody. He shouts at a referee, he shouts at a linesman, he sits on the floor, he's frustrated. And for the next 30 seconds, a minute, we're playing with 10 men because he's not in the game. And I actually think when he's angry, when he channels that anger, is actually one of his strengths. And that's when we see the best of Wilf. And unfortunately, he's let that get on top of him so far this season. And we are a lesser team for not having him perform. Whether, you know, my view isn't Wilf or whatever, but I think as a team, we want him to perform. And for me, the biggest thing is, there is no way Reece James should have had him in his pocket against Chelsea. He did. And then there's no way when a fan takes the piss out of Wilf after the game that Wilf should react in the way he did. That, to me, shows where Wilf is at. Simple.
I agree with the fact that, yes, at the start, he was probably sulking at the start of the season. Personally, I just think he's completely wasted. I think we're completely wasting him.
Mate, it was the same last season. And look at him, goals and assists. It was there last season.
Yeah,
we were playing same formation.
There's one big difference.
What's that?
One big difference, and that's Christian Benteke was playing week in, week out.
Oh, mate. If he goes to another club, there's going to be no Benteke.
If he goes to another club, there's going to be other... they're going to have a manager that's done, wouldn't mind at least
he goes to another
one
club,
other player getting forward.
And he's not going to be the main man, right? So he's going to have
different.
To...
I agree with that.
So he's going to have to buck up his ideas, or what? He's going to walk around and sulk.
I agree. I'm not arguing that at all. But Jordan Ayew, he's a very different player to Benteke. So Benteke would at least... He'd have to command... A centre-back would have to go with Benteke always. And the nine... And 98 times out of 100, Benteke will win a header. He'll control the ball. They're working. Him and Wilf obviously got an understanding with each other, knew what to do, and Wilf knew where to go. Thus, with the higher goals and assists. Watch the movement on Saturday. Don't do anything when you're watching the game. Watch our movement forward. Watch how many times Luke has got the ball. He just does the arms up in the air. It happens 3-4 times. No one moves. Not one person moves around. Watch us taking a damn throw in. That's incredible that no one moves. So
that's not just on the ball player, though. If no one's moving, then why is Wilf not moving? Wilf should be dragging that team. Wilf should be dragging that team. When Stoke got relegated, right, Shaqiri dragged that team as much as he could. And he did. He did. And at the end of the season, he could sulk because he'd done everything he could. For me, right
Wilf's
now...
Wilf's dragged us for 5 years.
Right, he has done, right? And because he hasn't got his move, he's sulking. I'm sorry, but he can be better. He can be better. He can give us more.
Of course, I'm not saying he can't be better. I'm not saying he can't be better, but I do think we've got to put into account that no one else is offering anything. Jordan Ayew's given us everything he's got, but he's limited into what he can do. That's what I'm saying. I think we'd be better served, honestly, with Ayew out wide one way and Wilf out wide the other. They've both got a bit of skill. They've both got a bit of something about them. As much as I like Andros Townsend, I just think he's a one-trick pony. Bit of pace, cuts back inside.
Right, don't get me started on him. I think he's... love him, but as you've just said it. He is the most obvious thing. He plays wide right, he runs down the touchline, he stops, he cuts inside, he crosses it to no one because we haven't got Benteke there. It's pointless.
Exactly, so that's why I try. Try Ayew and Wilf and get them switching over.
Than one than everyone else in the team.
That's true.
He's very true. That's a good point, Ned. So look, I'll speak for all of us and say we love Wilf and we just want to see more of him.
Doesn't.
Beautiful.
Shout out.
Now, moving on. So that's the players bit, mostly talk about those players, and with that we've had a question come in from an exiled Eagles legend. That's the only way we can describe him.
Hi, Exiled Eagles. Long-time listener, one-time host, Tony King here. I have a question for you. Bearing in mind we're now roughly about a third of the way through the season and it's been, shall we say, a mixed bag, I was wanting to know, what player do you think has been the player of the season so far for Palace? I already know what Dale's going to say, but I'm interested to know what everyone else's thoughts are for player of the season so far.
So, Sir Tony King. So, thank you, Sir Tony King, for your question. So who do you think has been the player of the season this year? I'm going to go first so far. I'm going to bloody say Gary Cahill. He has been bloody awesome. What a man. Getting Gary Cahill. Dale.
Can I have two?
Did Tony ask for two or did he ask for
I'm
one?
I'm giving him two.
He definitely asked for one.
He definitely asked for one, so you're not answering the question here, Dale.
First one's been VAR.
Okay, I'll let you off. That was quite funny, so well done.
I'm going to say, love Gary Cahill, has been superb, but it's been nothing short of what I thought he would be, Joel Ward.
He was my other choice, but anyway, no one cares about my other choice. Apologies, everyone. Go on then, Pervo. What was it about you?
I assume that's me.
Of course, you know it's you. Don't pretend you. Don't pretend you didn't know it was you. Don't pretend.
Ah well, I am going to just jump on board and go with my player that I nominated to be our flop of the season, and say Vicente Guaita. Yeah. Mostly just because I like saying his name. But
he has been very good.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. I think I read a stat the other day, and I assume
zero errors.
Do it, but that was the one. Basically, I think he's the only keeper.
Amazing.
He's not conceded a Premier League goal direct from one of his errors, and you do see sometimes where occasionally you go, maybe a taller keeper might have got somewhere near that, but anything that is, that you'd expect a goalkeeper to come and get. He comes and gets, and he deals with everything. He hasn't made a single mistake. He obviously made four this week. Now that I've said that, but he's been absolutely outstanding. I still like Wayne Hennessy, but Guaita is obviously better.
And what about you, Mark?
Tony King. I vaguely remember that name somewhere. But, in any case, to answer the question by the mystery caller that we had. Ned's nicked me answer, so I'm going to go with Jordan Ayew for my player of the season. Nice. Currently the club top scorer. Just runs around a lot, which I quite like. Puts in a proper shift. A lot of his running around, some would argue, not even necessary. But mate, he comes off with a feral sweat on the brow. And a dishevelled look about him, and he looks always sort of pissed off, and it's just hard to whinge when a bloke goes out there and does that for you, And he's putting a couple in the net, and good on him. Cost us nothing. All hail Jordan.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, if you'd asked me that question at the start of the year, and you had said that three of our four answers were going to be Joel Ward, Jordan Ayew, so two of our four answers are going to be Joel Ward and Jordan Ayew. I don't think that would have been predicted. I think they were actually both nominated for, and Guaita are nominated for our work for one of our worst as well. So I think three of our four predicted flops have been nominated there. So we've done very well with those predictions.
Yeah, the predictions are good. So if anyone wants any football accumulator bets for the weekend, we will be doing a separate podcast for that as well on a weekly basis.
Get on it.
To take your money in that too. All right, so Dale alluded to this earlier with what's coming up before Christmas. And once we've got past Liverpool, we've got quite a nice run of fixtures. A lot of B's in there. Burnley, Brighton, Bournemouth, a lot of the B's. But teams down there, and please can we beat Southampton, because I want them to go down this year, because it's just their turn. I kind of bought to ask you, Nick, because if I say what do you want, you're going to say 28 points or something stupid. But
that'd be ridiculous, Rob. There's only seven games, mate. 21's the only maximum available.
Yeah, whatever. So 21 points. Okay. but like realistically, what do you think we can aim for that in that run up to the turn of the year before we hit January time? Go on, Dale.
15.
15. That's it. Short, sweet, bang. 15. Boff. Why can't other people learn from Dale? Well done, Mr. Salthouse. You've got yourself a superb, superb client there. Marky Mark.
Mate, you get a spot on telly and then you go on a pod and it shows, doesn't it? away you go.
That's it.
Look, just having a look at that fixture before. And yeah, 15's a reasonable shout. I don't think that's ridiculous, to be perfectly honest. I doubt it will be, but I think, you know, at least, you know, 10. Yeah, we'll drop a couple of points there. So, you know, maybe 13 out the 15. But 15, and that's not even pie in the sky. I'm a Palace, one-eyed Palace supporter. Like, fair dinkum, that is 15 points that we could rustle out of those next five games. And if we keep a lot of the defensive stuff that we've had against the big boys and then get a bit of action going forward, it's a decent shout.
Ned?
I look forward to your spin-off podcast, Rob, with you, of you asking Dale questions and him giving one-word answers. It's going to be riveting listening. I'm
Avery, 18 seconds.
Okay, I think that anywhere between that 12 and 18 would be excellent. I think it's probably a key part of the season for us that we need to pick points up if we're going to end up having a successful season. So I'm obviously hoping for maximum, but I think somewhere around the 15 point would be a good sort of benchmark to go with.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, anyway, 12 to 15 points, I think, would be good because we had that good start. I think 12 to 15 points, be any somewhere in and around that 30-point mark by Christmas, and then I think that's a pretty decent return. Pretty bloody decent return, and would be very happy with that.
It'd be nice if we could be safe before the FA, or sort of, you know, safe for an FA Cup run.
That would be nice, but now Spurs have got Mourinho, they are nailed on to win the FA Cup. Alright, so briefly touched on it, like, so obviously Dougie Freeman was linked with the Hearts job. Now, I don't know if it's been filled or not. I don't know if he's actually interested or he's come out and said he's not interested. To be honest with you, I have done my research before this podcast. I've got a new job, so I've been absolutely awful and very slack. So whoever can Google quickest, please Google. But if he did take the job, if he did get offered the Hearts job and took it, now, would you miss him? Do you think he's done a good job? Do you think he's doing a job? You know, what are your thoughts? What do you reckon, Mark?
In order of your questions there, I won't miss him. I don't think he does anything at the club. I think he could keep his job with Palace and go and manage Hearts easy. Because what's he do? What's he done? What masterstroke has Dougie done since he's been appointed whatever he is at the club? I'm sure he's, you know, got some easy jet flights here or there and had a coffee with this person or that person, but I don't see it. And but I'll go over and help him pack his bags. I couldn't give a shit that he goes to Hearts. I won't miss him. Or I could just keep a job. Who's the manager recently they're talking about on the Ramble or something that kept his club job and now he's managing like a...
Oh, it's Northern Ireland's manager.
Yeah. What's he doing? What was he set up again? He's staying at club.
The guy who's gone, who's... is it...
Michael O'Neill,
yeah, Michael O'Neill. What club's he gone to? Is it Stoke?
Stoke.
So it works for him, it works for us, sod it.
Go on, Dougie, he can stay in the books, mate, and just head north, pack some woolies.
Ned, Dougie Freeman, miss him?
I think he's helped by the fact that what he did as a player is the fact that people are very happy to have him around. Generally, he's sort of obviously tarnished that a little bit with the whole Bolton thing. I like the guy. As Mark said, I'm not entirely certain what it is that he does with us. I know what his title is. I'm not entirely sure what that means. I can't imagine that if he was to go in from his current role that it would cause us, you know, the end of the world. But, you know, perhaps if he goes off, can rediscover some of that managerial form that he had with us before he buggered off the Bolton, perhaps he could be that successor option we were talking about before, if, you know, if that's what it comes to. So probably for the best for us if he does go and try his hand and, you know, maybe he'll do well and maybe he becomes an option.
Dale?
Mate, he must do something. Yeah, I can only assume. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, did he polish Parrish's car or what? I don't know. I mean, like,
The guy will forever have a place in Crystal Palace folklore for that goal. But at the moment, as a director of football, I don't know what he does. It appears it wouldn't hurt us if he goes to Hearts. Simple.
Yeah, I concur with all that stuff. We've got Ian Moody in there now, who's doing transfers, I believe, or he's definitely part of it. But a good director of football, look at Southampton when they had a good director of football. They got rid of Nigel Adkins way back when, even though he was doing really well for them in the Premier League, got two promotions, and they brought in a guy called Mauricio Pochettino. Now, he didn't turn out to be too badly. Then when Pochettino got picked up, they went and got Ronald Koeman, who did pretty well for them. They would be raided by Liverpool every year, and they'd still replace them with good people. That's a good director of football in there. That's that. That's someone that's looking after everything else at the club that the managers doesn't really want to look after. Everton has a really good director of football when David Moyes was there. Since he's gone and all the people, staff have changed, they've been crap. You know, a good director of football does something. Swansea, another club, had a good director of football in there, replaced good managers. So, for me, I don't know what he does. I mean, you know, my views are Hodgson are out there. Why couldn't we have picked up a Graham Potter or...
Hold on.
You know,
one thing.
Someone like,
is it 2016? Mm-hmm. Is Ian Moody still at the club? Did we sack him?
He's at the club. 100% guarantee he's at the club.
Did we sack him because he was sending dodgy text messages?
Yeah. Yeah, even like...
he didn't get the memo.
Dick pics with Steve Clark or something.
Mate.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that he was involved in transfers and stuff at the club. I'm... pretty sure.
You might have just let the cat out of the bag there, mate.
Mate, I'm a bloke that's got absolutely no inside knowledge of the club living in Australia, so if that's let the cat out of the bag, then something's gone horribly wrong.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So that's the Palace chat done for me. But so we're Australian, so we've got to bring in something Australian. And big news last week, and I'm going to give it to our two resident Aussies for this one. Sam Kerr has signed for Chelsea in the English Super League, whatever they call it over there. I'm not too sure what they call it. It was a Women's Super League or the WSL. She's the highest played female footballer in the world now, is she? Would that be right?
Oh, I think she's just shy of it, but thereabouts, certainly in the top five.
So, I mean, massive, obviously, for women's football and Australians football, having someone like her on the map. So, guys, Ned, Mark, discuss.
Go on, Ned, you get in.
I love your enthusiasm for all things Australian football and all things women's football. This really is right up your alley, isn't it?
Women's football's fine. Australian football's a bit...
Right. Yeah, but Australian women's football is some of the best football... is some of the best women's football there is. Sam Kerr, superstar, has earned that move. I think the women's Super League, they've just picked it up on Optus Sport over here, so it can be watched live. I think they might have done that in anticipation of Sam Kerr moving to Chelsea. Some of the crowds that have been getting over there, I think they had about 40,000 or so for the or just under for the London Derby last week. So I think it'll be good to, you know, for Australian football and for Australian women's football, for her to be able to try and take that next step. She's been sort of really close to that sort of Ballon d'Or territory. I think for men's, women's, all sorts of football over here, if we could get an Australian to pick up an award like that, that'd be huge. And being over in Europe and playing week in, week out, and actually having a full-length season, as opposed to the W League over here that goes for about 5 minutes, can only be a positive. Wish her all the best. And obviously she will be listening to the pod. So she should be watching that one closely, and hopefully she's successful and then decides to move to the Palace women's team and turn us into a superpower so we can watch our team win a trophy at some point.
I'm sure you just fairly echo Ned's things there, apart from the absolute rubbish he spoke at the end about the Palace women's team getting... It's like, it's just like saying that we're going to sign Lionel Messi. Yeah, sweet, no problem.
It is. It's cheaper.
Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, I think obviously got news of that breaking early this week or late last week. Fantastic for just Australian football, period, let alone the women's game. $2 million is a reported contract. So if you had said 5 or 10 years ago that a Australian woman would be commanding that sort of coin over at Chelsea, you would have got laughed out the joint. So it's a good testament to where the game is going. She's a thrill to watch. She missed a penalty for Australia last week. Otherwise, she would have been 41 from 41 for club and country. So she's 40 from 41 with a missed pen. To go with the missed pen at the World Cup. She's a superstar. She puts bums on seats. She's exciting to watch. I enjoy watching her play. I enjoy watching the Matildas play. I genuinely really enjoy watching our girls play. And as Ned said, the W League here is, as far as what I can tell, of a pretty good standard compared to the rest of the world. I went to a W League grand final before an A League grand final up here. So yeah, I mean it's great. It's just there's no losers in that story, and you know she had to stop diddling about here in the W League and get over to Europe and get her teeth into something serious. So absolutely own the MLS, and now it's time for Europe. So let's see what Samantha does in the next season or two.
The only thing I'll say about her in this move. Is that she has to bring, when she's registered, she has to bring that A game and she has to be crash hot. And the reason I say that, I don't know if anyone has seen the list of forwards that are on Chelsea's books, but it is ridiculous.
You're not bet sure I can't get in the team, so she's going to struggle.
Right, now, seriously, in women's football, they're stacked. So I just brought it up because I didn't know all the names, but Bethany England, Fran Kirby, Romana Backman, Erin Cuthbert, Sam Kerr and Edelina Engman. Now, I know of a few of those from watching some women's football. And look, I have no doubt that I think Sam Kerr jumps near the top of that list. But it just goes to show they'll have no qualms in saying, yeah, you're on the bench if you're not doing well. Because they've got some real class throughout that squad. So let's hope she goes there. As you said, we want to, living in Australia, it promotes the Australian game and it puts more eyeballs on it. That's all for the best.
And yep. I absolutely agree. I don't know too much about it. I've seen Sam Kerr play a little bit. But yeah, she just goes with all our best wishes and hope she does really well over there and puts Aussie football on the map. All right. Now, we're coming towards the end of the pod. Now, I was supposed to do something about Carl Vert, but I completely forgot.
And now you're giving it away for job. Next pod.
So I was already going to guess him anyway.
Can I buzz in quickly?
I'm pretty sure he'd have been top of anyone's guess. But Dale has come to the rescue. So don't worry, everyone, all our 15 listeners. You will get to the game is still on. So, Dale, over to you.
All right. So
here we go.
You've got to say, what we want you to do is tell me the Palace player here. You've got two you can get. First clue, Melbourne Victory.
Kevin Muscat.
No. Yep.
I'm out.
Steve Mortone.
No.
Victory.
So Palace player, that Melbourne Victory.
Did I say that? Played for Melbourne Victory? They got a link to Melbourne Victory. There's two of them. I'll give you another clue. Melbourne Victory Women's.
Oh, he's done me there. He's done me there. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Held that last little word I'll back.
Natasha Dowie played for Liverpool against Palace, potentially.
Natasha Dowie was my next clue.
Ned's getting the clues, not the answers.
So if you think about it, the link, if Natasha Dowie is the link...
Is the link Ian Dowie?
Ian Dowie's niece.
Yeah.
How good.
That's nicely done.
And can you
nicely
get,
done.
And can you get the other link, with Melbourne Victory Women's...
Bob Dowie.
Crystal Palace.
Bob Dowie.
No.
Ian...
No.
Carl Vert.
Nope.
The other ones I've got.
Who is?
So the other ones I have were Muscat and Mortone. But
I'll ask you a question. Who is the coach of Melbourne Victory's women?
You know it's a different Jeff Hopkins, right?
Is it? Oh, yeah. That makes rubbish for the pod, doesn't it? No, it's not.
It's good.
Don't edit that out.
It's got the same name though, so we'll pass that off as a link.
Don't edit that out. Keep that in. I'm sure
he was doing really well. I'm pretty sure he was doing really well at Livingston, and then he said, "Nah, I'm out," because they weren't paying him. So I'm pretty sure his stock's quite high.
Mate, it's the same Jeff Hopkins. Trust me. It's the same one.
No, it is. It is. I'll let you get away with it. Yeah. No, you're right.
This has been a seamless edition of whatever this is.
Don't do that to me.
Wikipedia says yes. Well done, Dale.
And with that, the segment is hanging on by a thread. By an absolute thread.
Comedy.
I've got a cheeky segue there for you, though, Rob, just to bring it back to proper pass-related things.
I'm so nervous.
We were asked to stretch this podcast out as much as possible to make it nice and long for the four-hour flight across to Perth that a lot of people will be listening to for the national meetup this weekend.
I was going to mention that.
So I thought I'd segue. Thought I'd segue that in. I'll pass it back to you now, Rob.
I was going to mention that. So yeah, this leaves us just a little bit of housekeeping. Firstly, the less excited bit of housekeeping, the CPFC Sydney lads will be putting on the kit again in a couple of weeks to take on Liverpool. It was supposed to be playing out of Blacktown, but temperatures of 150,000 degrees and the fact that no one can be asked to drive out there have poo-pooed that. So it's now at UNSW, isn't it?
David Phillips Field,
yeah. So a decent little ground there. So if you can play, please come down, bring your boots, because once again there'll be plenty of unfit people plodding around. I wouldn't really say running, plodding. Hopefully Jimmy Fletcher will show his skills out of goal again, because he was quite magnificent when he donned the outfield kit, having come out of goal. I've never seen someone take so much abuse in 5 minutes in my life. Like pelters he took, pelters. So that's happening on the 7th of December. But more importantly and more excitingly is the national meetup, which is happening this weekend over in Perth. And just to put in context for anyone that might be listening in England, Perth is a 5-hour flight to be in the same country. So, Ned, Mark, I know you both are going. I've got kids, so I'm not allowed to go. I'm not allowed to do anything. And Dale, you've got one on the way, so you're no longer allowed to do anything either. Have you got the itinerary, guys, for what's going on?
Yes, I do. So Friday night Colin, our host, is kindly putting up a few of the travellers for a few pre-drinks. But Friday night, I believe we are at the Reveille in Perth for a few beverages. Heading out the following day to a winery, which I believe is run by a Palace fan out there, who we will definitely plug when we're there and we're recording some content, but whose name I don't have off the top of my head right now. Then off to the A-League Grand Final rematch between Perth Glory and Sydney FC.
Tony Popovich for Perth Glory, is it not?
Yep. Yes, Tony Popovich coached Perth Glory. Before heading out to watch the game at, I believe, the Brass Monkey. I may have made that up. I'm doing this off the top of my head. And then there's a survivor's breakfast the next day for those who are still alive. I can't guarantee I'll be a part of that. But hopefully see a few people down there. Mark will be there. I'll be there. Mark's a much bigger draw card than me, so go and see him.
That's very true.
And if this true. Podcast is not long should enough... Good. Make sure you download the Optus Sports fan badge, Chelsea versus Crystal Palace.
Oh, there it is.
Get out of here. There he goes.
It's very important. I'll add that to the description plug. So there they get it just in time.
That's it. So anyone in and around the Perth area and that is a Palace fan, isn't a Palace fan, just wants to see some decent Palace fans, please go and join the boys. There's a few we've got going over from the east. So I know there's a few coming up from Sydney. I think there's some Melbourneites going with Pervy and Marky Mark. Are you taking any of any Brisbaneites with you?
Yeah, mate. Oddly enough, for the farthest trip away from Brisbane, we have the most attending. So we've got friends of the show, Matt Phillips and Pete Edwards, accompanying myself, heading west, long way west, like you say, Rob, 5 hours in a plane just to hop over a couple of states and touch down in the same country. So yeah, three Brisbane or Queensland representatives will be there that I know of. And then yeah, a heap of Sydney crew, Melbourne crew, two from the Apple Isle down in Tasmania there. Adelaide, who knows? Always a question mark over them. They're an odd bunch. So it should be good. Looking forward to it. Any fans that aren't aware of what's going on, jump on Facebook, on the Perth Supporters group or Australia or anywhere. It'll all be posted. So get on board. If you see us at the A-League, come and say g'day. We'll be easy to spot. And if you thought Dale's segment was shit at the end of this pod, you wait till you hear the drunken vox pops that myself and Ned record, which will be on the next edition.
It's okay. I've got a good intro lined up. I've got a good intro lined up, Mark, and that's where my expertise runs out. So it's all you from
there. Unfortunately, last year we had the very professional Tony doing it at the national meetup. So
the caller from earlier.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes, we've lost here. Unfortunately, Tony's no longer doing this, so we are very, very much scraping the bottom of the barrel with Ned to do that. So all that's left for me to say is thank you very much to Ned and Mark and Dale. What an honour. What an honour. Thank you for
always a pleasure.
Giving us your
never
time.
It's been a pleasure.
It is
don't forget, YouTube/ Optus Fan Bands.
All right, everyone, look, enjoy losing 2-0 to Liverpool with the lineup I gave you. It's going to be a cracking game, very exciting. Lots
of
attacking football.
You have a very good
football.
Record at the national meetup, Rob.
Well, shame. It's a shame that that's going to happen again. Anyway, boys, thank you very much. Wicked, up the Paddies. Speak to you in a month or so.
Come on, you.
Cheers, guys. Bye bye.